begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, and areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
No, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
But we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States, again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in just a moment is John Ramos. Today, we're going to go right straight to Nepal. Our hearts are breaking. Two earthquakes right in a row. Thank God for Samaritan Purse and Operation Blessings. Take a look right now.
It was Saturday.
But the building was shaking so much, it looks like the earth is going to divide into two parts.
Houses are falling, people are scared, shouting.
Jumping out of their house.
The children were crying.
It just seems like the world is going to end right now.
When the earthquake stopped, then I came out. At the same time, my mother was coming. She was so worried, so she was rushing towards the home. And I met her on the road. She was crying. But what happened to my son?
On April the 25th, there was a 7.8 earthquake that hit this area. The death toll is over 7,000 and more than 14,000 are injured. But there are hundreds of thousands of people throughout this region that are suffering as a result of the earthquake.
This used to be a road, and because of the earthquake, the road has been closed down. Some people who ran away from here, another houses fell down, and the two people killed over this same spot. And the four people killed in this spot. The people who are staying in another part, and they are trying to run away, and on the same time, this house fell down, and four people killed, and so many people been injured.
We have no shelter, we have no food. We lost all things, except our life.
I have to be thankful my family are unharmed. At the same time, my neighbor, they are also my family. They have also lost their lives. Yes, lots of people lost their lives. We have never experienced such kind of earthquake before. We are afraid.
Samaritan's Purse, we are working to help people in communities directly affected by these earthquakes. Time is of the essence. We're doing everything that we can to meet the emergency needs right now.
There's a lot of fear of the aftershocks and tremors that are still happening. You get a sense of just sort of the trauma and hopelessness that people are feeling right now.
We need a safe drinking water, shelter for people to live who are alive, and we need a food.
We have a team here, experts in the medical field, water and sanitation, as well as in food and in shelters, working together with local partners and contacts.
Many of these people have lost their loved ones or they're unaccounted for, and I just can't imagine emotionally what they're going through. And just to be able to pray for them and reach out to them. I mean, these people are desperate and in need.
We've received in our first cargo plane with relief supplies for the hurting people here, 42 metric tons of blankets, tents, and cooking kits. And there will be more supplies coming in the future.
A lot of aid's coming into Nepal, but we continue to move farther and farther outside the city to find those that have not yet been reached with food or shelter or medical attention. It's a wonderful opportunity to share the love of Christ.
What we're trying to give out is some food for a family for a week, some cooking sets, and some blankets, as some of these families can live at 6,000 feet or higher, and it can get much, much colder than the hot weather we have down here in the valley.
Probably the biggest thing that's impacted me is just how willing people are to come out and help. We've got over 30 volunteers, and they've been working really hard just to help out their fellow countrymen.
Oh, Nepal is my country. I just love this country. It's very hard for me to believe that we are going through this. This is also a very difficult time for me also. I don't have any house, but I'm helping here. There are also people who are helping each other in this moment.
So I'm here with Krishna Prasad Adhikari. He's 75 years old. He's walked 3 hours this morning to get to where we're distributing food today. His home looks like this. He's got 7 children at home, and he's taking the food and the supplies that we've been able to give back to them. What he's saying is that we're in survival mode. What we need is shelter, and thank you very much for doing what you can do.
Here are nearly 1,200 people staying in this camp. We are thinking that they will stay here more than 6 months up to 1 year.
13 people are living here in this tent. And we are living as a family member. We are living together. This is the condition. The circumstances is not so good.
Sanitation is one of the most important things in a situation like this. The conditions are not very good, the hygienic conditions. That's a big problem for children, and that's how diseases get spread. We've brought in a bunch of hygiene kits that include soap, brushes for the toilets, cleaning solution, gloves. Timing is super important, and that's why we've come out here as quickly as we can, so that we stop any spread of disease before it happens.
My heart does break for the people here in Nepal. I mean, there's a lot of need here. I mean, you can imagine the people have very, very little.
We pray our God. We rebuild our house for our better life, for our health.
We want to come beside them and walk through this difficult time with them.
I've had a couple of opportunities to, you know, to put my hand on the shoulder of someone who's hurting and say, you know what, Jesus has brought us here. He loves you so much. He's bringing people from far away to serve you.
As a Christian organization, we really are trying just to offer what we can, but also just to offer hope to these people.
There are a lot of urgent needs. Samaritan's Purse is here meeting those urgent needs, and we're doing that in the same vein that the Good Samaritan did when he helped the man in the ditch.
We become hopeless, but when people just like you come, then we get hope again to live.
That is so important, to be able to now at this moment in time participate. And we're going to be able to explain more details, but you can contact them and begin to give now to be able to meet this need. I think about, you know, the leader of Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, you know, he has a testimony. You got to see his testimony or read about it in Rebel with a Cause. It explains in that book how this whole ministry called Samaritan's Purse was handed over to him. And today, God has led this thing where it's impacting the world. And in every epicenter of tragedy and trouble and terrorism and pain and lack and thirst and hunger, Samaritan Purse is there. Right this very moment, that is footage that you just saw from the earthquake that just took place about 12 days ago. But look what just happened. I want you to see this footage because 12 days later, an earthquake hit again. Watch them as they're in Parliament and it begins to shake. We've got to pray for the people of Nepal. We've got to stand and we can actually partner with Samaritan's Purse to be able to do that. Take a look at this.
Right.
This lawmaker was addressing Parliament in the afternoon when the camera started to shake. Terrified lawmakers fled the auditorium. The magnitude 7.3 quake hit a remote region near the Chinese border between the capital of Kathmandu and Mount Everest. This man said, "This was a jolt just like the big one last month, though it was not that long. I was very scared." The government says several buildings collapsed in an isolated town that has become a hub for humanitarian aid after the first quake. A rescue team has been searching through the wreckage of the town. The death toll from the first quake over 2 weeks ago is now more than 8,100 people and still climbing. And it also injured almost 18,000. And it flattened mountain villages and destroyed buildings. At 7.8 on the Richter scale, it was Nepal's worst recorded earthquake since 1934. And there have been more than 150 aftershocks. Today's 7.3 quake was 2 miles deeper in the earth, making it not as strong. This video from Operation Blessing shows patients at one of the big hospitals in Kathmandu who had to be moved outside after today's quake. Operation Blessing has been on the scene since the first earthquake, providing safe water and food aid, often in remote, unreached villages. Its safe water team is operating chlorine generators to disinfect up to 800,000 gallons of water a day and then delivering it to survivors. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
After this break, we're going to talk more about this, but we have to really focus. This is the earth is shaking under the lives of the Nepalian people. More we get back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My wife works for a large corporation. They have a weekend overtime. Up until recently, it was on a seniority basis, and she was high enough where she wasn't mandated to work on the weekends. So the group decided, they took a vote because it is a union shop, that they were going to change it to a point system. With her not working on Sundays, she doesn't get those points. She ends up getting mandated every Sunday.
Let me tell you what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. But the fact is the union can't override a federal statute. Title VII says they're supposed to make a reasonable accommodation of a sincerely held religious practice, which means in a situation like your wife's, if she wants to worship on Sunday and there are other people that could work that slot, and it sounds like there are, they should be accommodating her sincerely held religious beliefs.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search and your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV. This is a tragedy taking place, and they're happening all over the world.
Yes.
You just had the Amtrak disaster, and
Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
and
coming from Philly to New York.
Yeah, from Philly to New York, and you're hearing the people, you know, talk about it, and they're saying specifically that it was just normal and it just kind of turned over. Mm. But it's like one tragedy after another tragedy after another tragedy, and I want to encourage you to understand that our God is in control, and to take your time and go to VFNTV.com and go to the VFN Torch. And you have several different menus there. One of them is prophecy. That John Paul Jackson prophesied very specifically that each of these parts of creation are going to begin to groan and increase with intensity as if the birthing pains. And, you know, long story short, it's minimum force necessary till we cry out to God.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are so many things taking place. And if you focus on the things instead of what the things are supposed to cause us to focus on, which is God. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus says, you know, look up at these times because your redemption draws near. Mm-hmm. So he's not requiring us. And we, you know, we could bring you 10,000 things. There's so many things going on every day. And we're here with you every day on VFN TV and 24 hours a day on the radio. That that's not the point. The point's not to know everything. The point is to know him who does know everything and be in right relationship with him. And right now what we have, you know, with Samaritan's Purse and Operation Blessings and others, according to Israel, I think Israel, we actually had on Israel,
they
were the first ones to show up at the first earthquake, and you saw that on VFN TV, where they're immediately preparing, you know, doctors and nurses and portable hospitals. And
Israeli Defense Forces that started that.
Yes, and it's just an amazing thing. It's great to see, you know, Samaritan Purse. It's sad to see what we, you know, heard on yesterday's program, I believe it was, with you know, testifying before Congress, the pastor from California, Bridlewood or Saddleback.
Oh, Rick Warren.
Rick Warren, you know, what he was talking about, that for some reason the American government is scared of working with the church.
Yeah.
But thank God that, you know, Franklin Graham, and if you haven't read his book, sometimes it helps you to understand how God brings things to pass, because Franklin could have said no when Samaritan's Purse was offered to him years ago. And if Franklin said yes, and if his dad, Billy Graham, said yes, what happens if you say yes? I mean, I would say, you know, get involved. I mean, if you can go there, go there. I mean, if you can't, people are going there. Just go to, as you see on the lower part of your screen right here, you know, SamaritanPurse.org. Go there. Partnering with VFN TV helps actually make it come to pass because we partner with them.
Absolutely. As I was watching, I couldn't help to notice what one of the gentlemen was saying as he's being interviewed. That many people have lost their families, but there's something about devastation and crisis that causes people to say, these were once my neighbors, but now they're family. And you begin to have a compassion for one another. It's just, listen, we just have to survive this thing. Let's take care of everyone around us. And that's so important, because right now it's Nepal that's shaking, but you never know when it could be your street, your neighborhood, your city. And to be able to have that type of compassion for other people is going to be very important in the days ahead, to recognize that it's not just them, it's us together. And we need to look to God together for this to make it through.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, when you think about an organizational chart, you know, normally the further a man gets away from God, the more structure he's in.
Hmm.
Because then you start relying on the structure.
Yeah.
When you think about just a particular corporation, you know, corporation has, you know, has a CEO, and it has, you know, VPs. If they really want to make you really, like,
CFO, we have, COO.
You know, I thought VP was something, vice president in this corporation, until I found out there's 20 of you.
Yeah.
You know, they just weren't going to give you a CEO. I am proud. I am proud. But I thought, oh, I see. You got the corner office. And anyway, so then you have like managers, and then you have, you know, supervisors, and then you have, you know, me in the mailroom, you know, right? And so you think about, it's like, wow, all this structure, and so many people feel, you know, insignificant if they're not at the top, if they don't know somebody at the top, if they're not invited into that part of the lunchroom and the corporate offices, you know, and if you're still bringing your lunch in a paper bag versus theirs is coming with a white napkin or something of that nature, a material napkin. And so, but even though there's structure here on earth, this is so empowering. Even though there's structure here on earth, just like that, and God establishes that, Romans 13:1-5, that even though that exists, God doesn't see you in that structure. Mm. He sees you as an individual. And, you know, if you're talking organizational charts, he has a pancake flat chart. In other words, even though there's structure that we have to have as men and women in how things function, there's order to it, we answer to God personally for how we respond to that. I mean, we're going to answer to God all alone by ourselves, for even if we're in the mailroom, how well did we do the mail? I mean, if God entrusted us with $18,200 a year, what did we do with his tithes and offerings out of that? What did we do with that finance? If he gave us $180,000 a year, he says specifically that there's going to be three folks, an example of it. One's going to get one talent, one's going to get two talents, one's going to get five talents. He did not compare them with each other. He measured them by what they had and what was entrusted to them. You know, it's not your boss's fault. It's not other people's fault. But it's also not their benefit when you do what's right.
That's right.
And so right now, when you're seeing these tragedies in the earth and you're seeing things take place in society, don't think about what Franklin's doing. Help Franklin. Help Samaritan's Purse. Yeah. Don't think about, what the church up the street or, you got to ask yourself. Since God's going to hold you personally accountable, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then when you do something, when nobody else does something, you can know, I did something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very empowering, even though maybe you think, what difference can my two copper coins make? Well, we still talk about those two copper coins today because Jesus stood by the offering plate when a widow gave everything that she had, and these other religious folks gave, big sums of money. But Jesus is talking about the woman. She gave percentage-wise more. She gave everything that she had. So when you give out of your poverty, you give out of your lack, I mean, you're conceding on even, and he's not going to measure you with other people, but he's going to see that's a great thing.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. And so, this thing can be so overwhelming with the things taking place in society, and they're only going to increase. I mean, if it's according, like Ann Graham, we were talking about yesterday, these could be the last days.
Yeah, this reminds me of what the book Thomas Friedman wrote, The World is Flat.
Yes.
And it's very flat these days. And
it is so flat.
As you're saying that, I think about the businessman we had a chance to meet with yesterday and the encouraging reports we heard about his brother.
Oh, my goodness. So
he just said, I'm going to go to India.
Yes.
A young person said, I just want to go. I want to help out. And we're seeing more and more people today that have a desire to say, I'm no longer going to look at an organization on TV that's doing it.
Right.
But how can I personally be engaged?
One thing he said, too, he's going to the slums and areas of poverty. They went to more poverty in the last particular country he went to. And then I talked to him. I said, how does America look in the context of that? Because if you're in America and you have your health, you're in the top 2% of the world. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And how do you think God's going to hold us accountable to that? And his continence went down and his eyes went down and he realized, wow, yeah, that's something. But we can do something about it,
One in six people in India right now live in the slums. 65 million people in that population. And by
1 in 6 is a lot when you talk about India, versus what we have, 330
million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they project by 2017, it's going to be 107 million people. That's a third of our nation living in slums.
Wow. And these are not like American slums because our poorest person in America. Yeah. Think about this. The poorest, not the middle class, not the wealthiest. 2%, but our poorest person, if you find our poorest person in America, statistics say that they're richer than 70% of the world's population, John.
Wow.
So it's not about I need more to do more. I need to be faithful with what God's given me. And this is our time. This is our moment where we can say, I see tragedy. I'm going to do something. If I got to make a sandwich and give it to somebody, if I got to work one extra hour a week that I can actually, partner with VFN-TV, or I could send money to Samaritan's Purse. I mean, just do something. At least you do nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Because it's a flat chart. I mean, we stand alone, which is, to me, it's empowering because you can have arrogant leaders. You can have people who think that they're everything is theirs in regards to credit and all that kind of stuff. But God goes, you know what? I see Saul. You're not the person. David's the person. You don't even know where he exists, but he's out tending a few sheep. And I'm going to find him. No, not his brothers. I'm going to find him. He's faithful over what I've given him. His heart is after me. And God promotes David. He goes into the wilderness to find David and his few and promotes him. That's the God that we serve. And so, and not that we're looking for promotion in this, but it just counts. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we have no excuse. We live in a blessed nation.
Right.
Best innovation, wealth, all these opportunities in education, we're going to be held to a high standard if we don't get involved.
It's going to be high standard. It's going to be pretty high. And I feel like we're in a race just trying to get to normal now.
Yes.
Because for so long, we lived in this bubble, this unrealistic bubble. And I can't, make sure you join this on our next program. We're not going to talk about it in this program, but it's a wonderful interview of T.D. Jakes. Mm. And his grandfather was 20, I think he was 20 years old. We'll know more about it on our next program, but 20 years old. And he was murdered, I believe, coming home from the store by a racist in Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
And he's named after his grandfather.
I didn't know.
And he's going to be talking about racial tensions in the church. And he has such a great perspective of, you know, that it's just so true. And we got to begin to say, you know, he talks about this. I know we're fixing to go to break, but he talks about, this is our next program, but I just want to let you know that and I believe this too, and I know that John does, that this, what's happening in America right now is a judgment on the church's silence for so many years.
Yeah.
This immoral laws that we've kept for so long. And now you have people, you know, talking about immoral laws. It's like they've been on the books for a long time.
A long time.
And then the laws got changed, but immorality stayed in the heart of those who proclaimed to be the church for a long time. Yeah. And nobody talked about it. They just want to talk about the most recent, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's, you got to catch that next program. It's going to be a great conversation. Plus, we're going to be having Tyler Burns is going to be joining us,
yes.
And Aaron James, you know, Pastor Tyler Burns.
Exciting.
And Aaron James and others as well, Assistant Chief of Police in Pensacola, Florida, you know, David Alexander. And we're going to be having conversations about the church, law, and how do we respond to this as the church. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
My goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners that are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcasts. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen,
right.
The Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn.
Mm-hmm.
Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us, so we can continue to be that trumpet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page. And you'll be able to follow, has some hands around the torch.
Mm-hmm.
That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Whoa, Welcome back to VFN TV. Today, you need to pray. Mm. Pray today that your representative that you selected to go down and represent you will hear your heart.
Yeah.
Pray that they will vote for, how are they describing the bill?
It's called a Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act.
In other words, they can feel your pain. They can feel the pain of them, of murdering that child. And I want to say, first of all, you know, for those that are, I don't know where you're standing in your state, but I know the state of Florida, Governor Scott, Governor Rick Scott, came near the studios.
Yes.
And signed the VFN TV studios and signed the Born Alive bill.
Yeah.
Thank you, Governor Scott.
Yeah.
Thank you, legislator of the state of Florida.
Yes.
And that Born Alive bill represents, I actually have the pen.
You have the pen.
One of the pens office, in my office. And, let the leaders that you chose know that you want them to stand up. He signed this bill. And this is what Representative Clay said that was there during that signing. I believe Pat and I were at that signing, that he said that there's no governor that's ever been in office that ever would have signed this bill.
Wow.
Which means it only would have been Governor Scott that would have signed that bill.
Wow.
And this is what it says. It says that if, in fact, that baby is born alive at whatever point, then it's an American citizen. It has all the rights as an American citizen. And if you touch that child in any way, all the laws apply.
Yeah.
And so if you kill that baby because it's this, quote, botched murder, botched abortion, then you're going to be prosecuted for that. That's what it said.
Yeah.
Well, today, John, today they're voting and putting teeth behind a bill that says 20 weeks old is abortion. If you abort from 20 weeks more, right?
Yeah, 20 weeks. If you abort the child after 20 weeks and the baby is capable of surviving because of the botched murder abortion that was taking place, if you don't get this baby to a hospital so they can save their life, they're going to find them and they can be imprisoned up to 5 years.
That's it.
I know.
But today, this is about putting teeth. Today, they're going to be voting. Take a look at this. This is the story behind what's happening today. We wanted you to be able to see this so you can pray and ask God to touch our leaders, because they're the ones that have to vote for it. All they got to do is just pull the little button and just says yes and stand up for God. And of all the things, when you think about it, that God would bring judgment on a nation, it would be because of the sacrifice of children, innocent bloodshed. And it's taken place today, over 55 million since 1973. Yes. Take a look at this.
The House of Representatives is scheduled to vote Wednesday on a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks. Pro-life groups say the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act will save thousands of unborn children every year. Representative Trent Franks of Arizona, the bill's sponsor, says the bill will stop late-term abortions on babies who can not only feel pain but also are capable of surviving outside the womb. The vote takes place 2 years to the day a jury convicted Philadelphia late-term abortionist Kermit Gosnell. Gosnell was found guilty of murder for killing babies born alive during an abortion. And joining us now is Arena Grosu, director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council. Arena, what is the significance of the vote happening this Wednesday?
It is amazing to see that all of the different candidates have come out with this, and that they can finally support this pain-capable bill. It's strong, and it will save up to 13,000 American babies every single year. And it'll take America out of one of the seven countries who still has abortion until the day of birth.
Mm. Pro-life groups say the bill also protects women from the effects of late-term abortions. Tell us about that.
Well, late-term abortions are dangerous procedures, and obviously for the women, it's a very dangerous, and for the children, too. And also, it protects. There's a requirement in the bill that if there is a baby born alive, that the baby will get the care the baby needs as well.
Okay. The bill first came up in January, but some internal debate blocked the vote. What was the objection, and how has it been overcome?
The objection was over the rape reporting requirement, and now there is no rape reporting requirement, but a woman will have to go see a licensed counselor or physician 48 hours and this doctor or counselor cannot be in any way related to the abortion industry before she would even be eligible for a late abortion, and it would have to be based on a rape.
Okay, so there is a rape exception. If it was a case of rape, there's a possibility the late-term abortion would be allowed to go forward.
That's right. So there are exceptions in the case of the life of the mother, rape, or incest with a minor. But again, those do require counseling with a licensed physician or counselor 48 hours beforehand. And also for a rape or incest with a minor, there is either that would have to be in some way, they would have to let either law enforcement know or social services know about that. So there's that component of it, but there is no requirement beforehand.
All right. And this would be, of course, a big victory for the pro-life cause. How hard is the abortion camp fighting against it right now?
Well, they are seeing this as a threat because it would ban abortions after 20 weeks post-fertilization, except in the cases of rape, incest, or the life of the mother. And so this would actually take us out of that camp of seven internationally that do allow abortions until the day of birth. But this is actually supported by the majority of Americans. A Quinnipiac study showed that 60% of Americans want to see a ban on abortions after 20 weeks post-fertilization, and this is because babies can feel pain, and this is an excruciatingly painful procedure, no matter what abortion method is being used. And so we will be saving those babies, and it's going to be a great victory.
All right, that's the optimistic view. Irina Grosu with the Family Research Council, thanks so much for joining us.
This is so important. You know, remember, as we talked about, we're personally held accountable before God. It's not necessarily what's happening in the political atmosphere. It's not what's happening in some political party. And it makes no difference if people go to Washington, D.C. and say that they stand up for godly values, but they vote ungodly.
Exactly.
You know, because they're, you know, I have this article that it's being looked over right now. But it's, you know, it's called, you know, give me an inch, take a mile law. You know, and so many people are falling for that. They're falling for, you know, I know this is not popular, but let's just go ahead and give them this inch and move on to the more important, you know, things going on, and we'll work our way later on. And
throw them a bone.
Yeah. And they're just so shocked when they find out, they give them the inch and they go ahead and pass the bill number 666, you know, and they pass it. And then they said, let's move on. And then 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, their phones are ringing, their emails blowing up, going like, we want the mile law. And it's like, I gave you the inch. Sure. Oh, you don't understand. We're giving an inch, take a mile. I mean, you cannot negotiate with evil. It's going to ask for more. It's insatiable.
Yeah. And it's important to pray for our politicians, those that we've voted in there. They have a tough job to do. And something happens when they go to D.C. You can only imagine what they're being attacked with on a spiritual, you know, basis. And also pray for their staffers. You know, we had a segment not long ago, maybe we can make this related for you, where the staffers, they do so much work in reading the bills and making sure that this information gets to, you know, the politician so that he can vote properly and be informed. We want to pray for them. Right. But I was just reflecting as we were just listening to this great segment that, man, how far have we gone as a nation? We're praying now for a 20-week ban, but for some teeth. It's like, for teeth in a bill that
kill less children.
To kill less children. Yeah. It's like,
I think she said 13,000 less 13. Children will die, you know, because of that. But the thing about this, though, that I see is because, you know, if you look at history and, you know, you can see, you know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he works with us and progressively moves us to a place. And sometimes he slams it down and moves us in. And, you know, sometimes we want, like, instant things, but we have to willingly want to go for it to be right. Just. And so, you know, how long has, you know, International House of Prayer Kansas City been praying for, you know, end abortion, send revival, And then, you know, we heard that call. And we began to pray ourselves, in abortion, sin revival.
5 years. Yeah. 5 years we've been praying.
Yes, 5 years. And it's significant because of all the gods that God hated, the fault. There is no God other than God, but the small g God that God hated the most was Moloch, because they would sacrifice children to these gods. And that's taking place today. I mean, if you look at it, so often we look at historical sin on some mountain or rock somewhere. You see these particular people, and why would somebody sacrifice their child to Moloch? Well, demonically held captive to do it, but think about it. Okay, what they're saying about this child is that its life's going to end, and because of that, my life's going to be better. That's the basic thing. If I sacrifice my child to this false god Moloch, then my crops are going to be blessed. Then I'll have a bigger house. Then I could buy a boat or whatever. Back then it was like, they thought it was giving some offering to some god, which is the antithesis of what God would want. And so you see that on some rock somewhere, some ziggurat somewhere on the top of some sacrificial thing. We just come into today's thing and just pass by a local ziggurat somewhere, some sort of, it's not rock anymore. It's a metal table. And if you just rip off the brick veneer and the 2x4s and the sheetrock, and you're looking at that doctor in there about to kill that child. It's spoken about in regards to abortion is, because of rape or incest, but that's like 1%. And so 99, whatever percent of that is just people thinking that my life will be better if I actually end the life of this child. I'll have more. I'll get more. I'll be able to do more. And so if you pass by that local, abortion clinic, the Gazelle Clinic, who has legs in his refrigerator and all these different things that he did, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And so one of the biggest sins on our nation is the blood. And remember this, Abel's blood still cries out today.
Wow.
So imagine all these children's blood just crying out to God. And we're not even saying it's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember during the break you were talking about how many times we reflect about Germany and the Holocaust. Yeah. And can you share a little bit about that?
Well, you think about it. You look back at history and you see where these concentration camps were going on in Germany, like 20,000 of them, I think, something of that nature. And people just went about, making their food for breakfast. They went to work. They did these different things. And they just passed those camps and didn't even pay attention. It didn't even connect what's going on inside those camps. And they believed whatever the propaganda that was being said at that particular time. It was the most popular thing. And it wasn't until after the war they required, matter of fact, the troops, America made them walk through the camps to see what was happening in their own community. And then they realize all the death, mayhem, and destruction. Well, think about this. You think, what's wrong with those people in Germany? Why didn't they do something? But aren't we in America driving by every single day an abortion clinic? Why 50? I mean, think about 55. How many people's in your state? John and I added it up one time. If you add up population like in the certain states, was
the
like
least populated states in the nation.
It'd be 50% of America's population would be aborted.
Yes. Yes.
That's significant. One life is significant. Abel's life is significant. But the fact that we don't even say it's significant, the fact that our representative that we sent to Congress or to the Senate goes, I know, we're just going to cut back and just set a saying. No, we have to stop this. We answer to God. Forget about, the inch and take a mile crew. Mm-hmm. It's like we got to stand before God and say, Lord, this is wrong. Lord, forgive us for the sin. Josiah did it, and God turned everything around. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
With us, you may not know this, but Steve Kolesheski served in Iraq. How many tours was it?
Two. Oh, my goodness.
That means he went a second time.
Right.
And he braved. I mean, he weathered the heat.
Yeah.
I mean, people complain about heat here. When you're in the desert, you got camo, you've got, loaded down. I mean, we're bragging about him here. He's humble. He's sitting over there just listening to Steve. But we're going to talk about you today.
Okay.
And we want to thank you for your service.
Yes.
I mean, this guy would go with 7 bottles of water. 7 bottles of water and come back just
bone dry.
Carrying just, the ammo, the stuff, the helmet, the, you know, I can't believe you can't. How many miles would you go on tour? Would you walk with that stuff?
Wouldn't really go on miles. You just go for hours until pretty much your water's out.
And how many hours would you walk with that, that on a, any given day? I mean, I don't expect you to give me details.
I mean, just one patrol anywhere from like 6 to 10 hours.
6 to 10 hours, Pat. One patrol, Chris, with all this heavy stuff and just, I mean.
6 hours. Yeah.
6 hours.
Wow. Straight.
Yeah. Just going house to house. You know, heaven forbid you don't get contact on it, because if you're out of water,
that's
better,
it.
You better just push through it.
That's right. It.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that is, that's pretty intense.
That is.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate everything that the military does. I tell you, man, I don't know. You know, I've seen the movies, you know, I get inspired. And then when I look at that training, I go, I don't know if I can take this hill. I can't take the hill in my lawn, front lawn sometimes. I don't know if I can take this hill right here.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back, Jeremy. You're looking at, I mean, let's get 8,000 potential deaths in Nepal. Mm. And you, that's tragic.
8,000. That number's staggering.
But didn't you think about, isn't that what actually gets aborted in America during a month, maybe? We figured it out. Yeah. We figured it out. We have a previous program that you, we'll make it related, but how many counties, how many parishes or counties are there in America? We added them up. Mm-hmm. I think it was 6,000 or something. I don't remember.
Something what crazy, was. Yeah.
That was a dark in the shot, so I have no idea, but it was like something like that. And then we divided amongst all the number of abortions that happen in a year.
Yeah.
And then understanding that abortions are the ending of a child's life, which means the sacrifice of a child, which would be a sacrifice to Moloch, mm-hmm. which is the god that God hates the most, small g god, the people's concept of what they're doing. And there's enough abortions that are taking place, especially now with the you can do your own with a pill or something.
Oh yeah.
That that every single county, every single day, potentially it was, yeah. was offering up some sort of sacrifice on the metal altar of, you know, and it's like this comes up before the nostrils of God. Mm-hmm. And I know it's difficult. I know it is so difficult. You know, and I wish we had that. Do we have that? We don't have it available. My goodness, I wish we had it available. But that interview that was done, you know, they set up an interview on a Skype interview for people to come apply for a job. And they described what it was to be like in this job. You have to work 24 hours a day. Yeah. You got to have these different techniques. Yeah. And what they were describing is what it takes to be a parent, what it takes to be a mother. And in that, every one of them turned the job down. They thought, this is crazy. This is insane. You know why? Because that's what it requires you to lay down your life to have a child. They demanded of you. It's cute at first. And then finally it's like, they want my life, you know, and they have no problem. You know, like, you're like, you zero. Want every part of me. And it's like, but that's what we're supposed to do. Mm. Are you doing? Oh, you got to see this. Watch this right now. Watch this.
Just give me 1 second. Thank
sure.
you. Sorry.
Uh huh.
Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi. Good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Hey, Ori. Hi, nice Hi. To meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No.
Not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No!
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh, my God. Moms are the best.
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
This generation has been sold a bill of goods, which is not true. When they're presented with the reality and the authenticity of life, how they actually got here, all the things that was sown into them, all the mothering and the fathering and the parenting and the choices, they don't understand it, and when it's presented to them, they abort it. The enemy has convinced this generation, many in this generation, that life, their life, is more important than the next generation. But they don't understand it. If their parents felt that way, they wouldn't even exist. Understand this. It's all a lie. When they realized, even though they were rejected, the reality of what it requires to parent and to be a mother of them, they realized, what am I thinking? My whole life benefited from that. I am talking against my own mother. The thing is that you have to be brave enough and confident enough and willing to go through that entire life description to be able to pour into the next generation. There's not a greater thing that you can do than to speak into this next generation, to birth this next generation. Everything in today's society says it's not worth it, but eternity says it is so worth it. I want to pray with you right now. Maybe you're thinking about this moment to end the life of your child. Maybe you're even counseling your child to end the life of the child. You come up with some excuse. Don't do it. Don't do it. Think about it. Solomon was the byproduct of a relationship that kind of went rough, but God used Solomon. That's the son of Bathsheba and David. David, understand that Rahab, you know, she was a prostitute, but God used her. And God gives life. You didn't give life. Let that life live and begin to pour your life into that child, and you'll never regret it. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, we ask you to end abortion over America. Forgive us, Lord, for the lives that we've taken to be selfish and think about ourselves and just thinking our life would be better if we end the life of someone else, even our own child. God, forgive us for the sin of abortion. Forgive us for not even recognizing what our parents, our mothers, and fathers did to be able to lay down their life so that we could have life. Break this mindset over this generation, over America that says the next generation is not not valuable, not important. God, forgive us for all the sacrificial places and driving past these abortion sacrificial Moloch sacrificing places, these abortion clinics every day, the way the Germans drove past the concentration camps when Jews were being killed and murdered and burned and gassed. Lord, the babies are being drowned by saline solution. They're being drilled out of their mother's womb. They're being pulled out, Father God, over 55 million. Dear God, we know it's wrong now. God, forgive us. End abortion, sin revival, we ask in Jesus' name. And I tell you, right, go to VFNTV.com and go to links, and we have resources there for you that can help you out if you're going through that time in your life. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Don't forget VFNTV.com, where you can find everything that you ever wanted to know about VFNTV in the daily video program and so much more. Also, the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand corner. Go ahead and select it with over 3,000, Pat, 3,000 highlights that are available for you. So that you can just search and look and share and pass. A lot of times, the torch allows us to add more to our conversation. We have pictures, we have videos, we have graphs sometimes, and just allows you to take more time to really go deeper, because we only have a limited amount of time on air, but the torch allows you to just get all the related resources and all the related articles, and allows you to go so much deeper. Also, we have different tabs for you under the VFN Torch where you can look up prophecy, all the prophetic words that have been shared, and there have been quite a few. We have words, wisdom moments. We have original intent, and we have a new one that I'm very excited about, Third Great Awakening. That's what we're believing for. We're here keeping a conversation light. We're here to have a conversation and with hopes and prayers and belief that a third great awakening is going to touch our nation, and the pendulum is going to swing back. Instead of hearts and minds and actions that are turned away from God, hearts are going to be turned automatically to God and on fire. So thank you for being a part of this conversation, and thank you for being part of a movement of keeping the conversation light, and that's L-I-G-H-T, the light of the world. And we want to keep Jesus on our minds always, because he, my goodness, he is the lifter of our soul. We love him, and we just want to do everything that we can to make him famous in the world today.